Hey, Stripper Whispers, this is Corey Michaelis back with another episode, this time from Salt Lake City, Utah, with Molly Mormon. How fun is that shit? It would be rad if you gave the podcast a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and maybe hopped on to the Patreon page to see videos of episodes. Also, if you want to see me do stand-up comedy live, I'll be in Moscow, Idaho, and Spokane this weekend doing jokes, then partaking in some extracurricular activities before going back up to try and do more jokes. The show's called The Dope Show, so you do the mathematics. October and November are mostly filled with my first ever college conferences. Can't wait to offend them. But I'll be somewhat local for a few shows, Bellingham, Ballard, and Chehalis, and I'll be doing one night at the Secret Group in Houston, Texas, which I hear is amazing, on October 10th. Check out all my dates on CoreyMichaelis.com and enjoy another lovely stripper interview. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Stripper Whisper, the podcast where I creepily stalk strippers and then ask them to be interviewed in hotel rooms they've never been to before. No, it's a podcast where I learn about the behind the scenes of the club a little bit, but also, more importantly, the behind the scenes of the life of the dancer. And today I'm with Molly Mormon. Hey, how are you?
Hi, good to be here.
Very professional. We're in Salt Lake City, Utah, which some of you are probably like, there's strippers in Salt Lake City, Utah? And absolutely, there are plenty. They're all trying to leave, it seems, from what I can understand. But there are lots of them. Before we get too far into this, we got to start with a shot like we do every episode. Okay. Mine is girly and gay, and yours is straight tequila, which is accurate. Oh, tasty. Perfect. It was excited to have you here.
Big boy shot.
Oh, it was a big boy shot. Good.
Yeah.
You said I don't need a chaser and I can take straight tequila because I'm an alcoholic. So should we go there right away or let's hold off on that?
You know, the first step is admitting you have a problem.
Perfect. That's great. It's like when I remember being... Okay, do you remember G.I. Joe? Did you ever do like She-Ra or G.I. Joe or He-Man?
What's that? G.I. Joe?
Shut up. But you didn't like have them. Probably not.
I had brothers, so.
Okay, all right. Well, G.I. Joe was always like knowing is half. They ended every episode with knowing is half the battle. Which, why? What were they doing with that? Were they trying to tell kids?
About being an alcoholic?
No, I don't think it was relative to alcohol. Maybe it was. Maybe that was what it was doing.
That'd no, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. That. I remember that. So it works, that indoctrination of whatever. Like, it could have said anything. Mm-hmm. They could have been like, gays suck. And I would have been like, all right, I'm all kidding. Right. I love G.I. Joe, so sure.
Do you want to introduce me real quick? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's say we have here. A person here that might be laughing and giggling and poking her head into the video. Poke your head into the video. Hey.
Hi.
This is Autumn, everybody, and she'll be interviewed shortly in a future episode. But I'm with Molly, and just real quick, what's your Instagram if people want to like pop on and like, you know, creepily look at you while they're also listening to podcast?
Molly the Stripper on Instagram. And I also have a Twitter. It's Molly Mormon 5.
I like it.
I don't use it much.
Is there four other Molly Mormons?
There must be. But I doubt that theirs are like mine.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Follow Molly Mormon 5 on Twitter and Molly the Stripper on Instagram.
On Instagram, yeah.
Great follow on Instagram for sure. And I don't follow you on Twitter. I have to. So
yeah.
Check that
out. It's new.
And you're like Molly the Mormon. Is that how you introduce yourself in the club?
Often it is because I feel like it really helps people remember my name and who I am, and it instantly is an icebreaker, something that we can like, they'll be like, oh, what's that about, you know? And I'm like, oh, I used to be Mormon and yada yada.
Oh, it's brilliant. I love that because I talk a lot about how stand-up comedy is similar to dancing in a lot of ways.
Just from what I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. Of comedy or of dancers? Of both. Yeah, you've seen a lot of both. So Yeah, and well, and because I think you're, you know, you're trying to figure out a way to market yourself a little bit, and it's changed so much now with social media. Because, you know, 10 years ago, I don't think dancers were doing a lot of outside of the club marketing.
No, and I even noticed, like, with my Instagram, I was started doing things that not a lot of other strippers were doing, which was I would film myself in the club dancing for short periods of time. And yep. Some people, I think, were like, oh, well, that will give away too much. And then people won't want to come in. But actually, I think it was more of a teaser, like, oh, this is what it looks like when I dance on stage. And, you know, if you want to see more of this, you can come to the club.
That's exactly what we do with comedy. Because, yeah. And that's changed too, because in comedy 25 years ago, you could have the same act for years and years and years.
But yeah, now.
You can't now.
And that's why they don't let you bring cell phones in and stuff.
That's right, because I don't want your shaky ass.
Ruining all the jokes.
And I did cell that. Phone being posted online.
I've seen people that like
new jokes.
I looked up and then all the jokes I saw were the exact jokes they told. And they were still funny, but sure. It still was like, oh, that's a bummer. I wish I hadn't spoiled that for myself.
Right.
You know?
Like if you go see, you know, if you go see the Rolling Stones, you want to hear the hits. You know what I mean? But you also want to hear some of the new. It's a little different. Like in comedy, people... I get two chances.
It's all about the new,
right? I get two chances. Like, they can see me once, like me, bring their friends the next time, see similar stuff, if not the same, and be okay with that. Like, mm-hmm. One time, okay, I get it. I brought my friends. I'm glad they got to see the stuff that I saw that was great or that I liked. But if the next time they go to see me is the same, or even if what I post online is the same, then they're like, come on.
That shit is redundant.
I've seen this shit before. So, yeah. It's very similar. I love doing this. It's fun. How, from your memory, how did we meet or get connected?
Because
I love to, because
you
different.
Said your version, my version, when you text me. And
I
was
know.
Like, how are they going to be different?
Because
we'll my see. Version is obviously reality.
Ah. All right. Well, that's perfect. That's great. Maybe it will be exactly the same.
So I remember just, I think... There was some messaging, which, like, you know, I end up messaging a lot of people.
Instagram?
Yeah, I don't think I thought much of it. And I talked to a lot of comedians specifically because I'm very interested, as you know, in comedy.
Yes.
And so I remember chatting briefly and then maybe exchanging numbers and then going to get food at Roosters.
Yep. Is that the Mexican spot?
No.
Oh.
No. But I did get a burrito, I think.
Okay.
Like a veggie
We had
burrito.
Tequila and burritos, so I guess I just assumed it was a Mexican spot, maybe.
Yeah. Are you vegan? Why do I have a memory
no,
of that?
No, you're not. Okay. I eat meat.
That was another comedian I ate with at Roosters.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, I'm kidding. Feel really unspecial. So, no, okay. So that was Roosters. I was going
to
ask
and then
the
we
name.
Went to Brewski's after and continued drinking.
Yes, because you have to in Utah switch spots or else they'll stop serving you or whatever.
And I drank tequila then too.
Sure.
And then, I think we just kind of wrapped it up and...
Yeah, you had to work that night and couldn't make the show, no worries. And then we've chatted since.
Yeah.
And we're friends. It's official.
All right, let's hear it.
Now. All right, but we got to rewind a little because you don't just chat with somebody. So I must have, I'm sure what happened was I followed you. You must have popped up in something on Instagram.
Yeah, well, you're a stripper enthusiast.
I am a stripper enthusiast, but I hadn't been to the club or a club that you worked at. So I must have just...
Come across
somehow, or specifically searched while I was in town,
mm-hmm.
and then slid into them DMs. I'm sure mm-hmm. I initiated. But see, this is why we talk about it because I'm like, I don't totally remember.
We could literally look and see.
I suppose.
Do you want me to?
That'd be interesting. You look while I tell my version. And so then, I must have. I assume because I don't think you like go to lunch with everybody that sends you that direct message. So probably the comedy thing was probably, oh, that's interesting. I'm interested in like hearing more about comedy.
Yeah.
And then we went and they were like very intense about like, you can't have two drinks in your hand at the same time. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like they there's a rule or whatever. MR. Mine is Mr. Corey Michaels. MRCORY. It should still pop up, which is my first name. That's crazy that it doesn't. But then you're leaving out a very important detail. We went over to the, I didn't realize in Ogden there's a sex shop.
Oh my God.
And we walked around and we were looking for.
I did not mean to gloss over that. No. I swear to God.
Good. I'm glad. Well, I'm glad I'm not saying it now.
So having
you be like, ooh, you weren't supposed to say that.
Oh my God. I just genuinely forgot that. Like,
that is fun. That was fun. So we were looking for the Womanizer. If you've not heard of the Womanizer, Nikki Glaser, great stand-up comic, says it's the best. Mm-hmm. And she says what it does is it has like a suction thing that sucks on your clit.
Yeah.
And that's like, for her, what has been the ultimate. It's That's what's
made
her
squirt. That's the moneymaker.
Yeah. Because she's like, now I'm a squirter. And she didn't know she was.
Now I'm a squirter.
Well, like 80% of women are. It's just, you got to figure out.
It's pee. Let's get real. Okay.
So there was one French study that said it was pee. It's not. There might be a little bit in there. It doesn't come from the pee
it's
hole.
Fine.
It comes from
no
a different hole.
No one wants to admit you're into golden showers. You don't have to front anymore. Like,
oh,
it's fine.
I don't. I'd let a lady pee on me. I don't
pee
care
play
about that.
Is
I'm
fine.
Just saying. I'm just saying it's not because it doesn't come from your pee hole. It comes from your vagina. There's two different holes there. So
urine
it's not,
is urine wherever it's coming from.
But it's not. You can't get urine.
You
from
can
your,
quote that directly.
Jesus. Urine. Have you seen my dick now that you're scrolling? This is all. We probably
no,
shouldn't do this.
I
good.
Can't.
Did
so
I
like,
ever
I don't think
oh,
it's the first one.
Oh, we have bad service. That can't be the first thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that can't be the first thing.
We'll get you on we'll Wi-Fi see. Somehow, some way.
Okay.
And here, maybe Autumn can get you on the Wi-Fi with that little piece
Will
of paper, maybe. And then we can maybe figure this out. So that's always fun. So yeah, so that's, it's not too solid. I mean, sometimes it's like... you know, I followed you home from the store. No, I've never done that. I'm just saying, like, sometimes it's a little more creepy than that, even that. But I mean, I have to, like, you know, I mean, maybe I created the podcast just so I could have the excuse that, I mean, I have to meet strippers. Like, what else am I going to do? I have to do it to do this podcast.
I have to, yes, I created it. Yes, I named it.
Yes, it was my idea in the middle of the night. So, but still, you know.
It's my job.
Babe, that's so funny. So
do we need to be closer?
I don't know. I said just close-ish, just close-ish. Like you're licking a dick, you know, wherever you however. You
I don't do that. Gross.
Lick
oh God.
Good.
Kidding.
Good.
I
don't like blowjobs. Shh. By the way, that's a thing.
Ew,
that I'm not a big fan. Not. I'm just like what? Not a fan. Well. They just haven't. There's so much.
I wish
so
you could
many.
See her face right now. She's like.
You could if she leaned in.
Show me
but
your
on
face
a podcast, you can't see it. It's too toothy for the majority.
You're getting the wrong ones from
that's
the wrong
what everyone
people.
Says, and that's fine. And then people are like, "You're just saying this just so you know, just to be like,
show
prove
me
wrong.
Show me, yeah.
No. It's just.
Is it the presence of teeth in general?
So that's no. It's just that there's a little scraping, like you're, you know, shaving a carrot. But like, it's kind of, it feels, it's like, but here's the deal. It's also the fact of like, I don't, my thing is, it's is my own ego issue. Is like, I, like my ego needs for me to get her off. So the idea of me like putting my hands behind my head and leaning back and being like, suck my dick doesn't turn me on at all.
Oh,
like,
so I see you're a woman.
Yeah. So I'm a lady.
You are, because I think that's the pressure women feel. And I think it, even for
to
women
make
could
a guy
be
feel good?
Yeah, I think it's almost an ego thing for women too. Is like
100%.
I need to make sure this happens because there's obviously something wrong with me if I can't. You know what I mean? Like
you're probably right, because I don't think there's a lot of women that are like, I just love getting down there and smelling that whole area. You know, it's like probably not like
I know a lot of women like that actually.
Oh, all right. Well, that sounds great.
That sounds great. Can I meet them?
Names. But like so that's my own, and it works out for everybody. I think my ego gets filled, and then then she gets off a bunch, and it's good for everybody. But it's probably not
orgasms all around.
Yeah, I mean I eventually come. It's just not. I don't blowjobs just aren't really my thing. As a part of the process, I would say like just like a lot of things. Like like a clipped fingernail in my butt, great. But
clipped though.
Yeah. Can't, let me see your fingers.
I have not trimmed.
So those are probably all fine. Not that we're.
Wait, how about
saying,
hers?
Like, hell no.
You let this up your butt?
No.
She
oh
has
my God,
very,
so
very
scratchy.
Long fingernails.
But like, I don't want to just be pegged. So it's like, as a part of the process.
Whoa.
Great, but like,
that was a huge jump.
Is it a huge jump? I'm just saying, like, I'm not just going to sit there and be like,
Why not? Pegging is. beautiful. And
it's, my point is, as a part of the process, it's fun. I just don't want it to be the only thing that is like I just don't want to just be like, hey babe, suck my dick. That's it. That's not totally true, because women have done that. Like in a parking lot once, a lady did that. That was really great.
One I lady think was that's like, the key at parking lot, because yeah. then it's so naughty and erotic and forbidden. It's like,
honestly, the two best.
I've honestly fantasized about my dick being sucked in a parking lot, and wait, I don't even have a dick. Yeah. And I've been like, that'd be hot.
That would be hot. Huh. Maybe that is a secret, because the two best I've ever had are parking lots. One was a gal that was like, she was leaving town, and she's like, can I, you know, I should probably give you a going away, you know, going out of town
blowjob. How generous of her.
And then we chose the cell phone parking lot, like idiots. Well, I did. Because, like, I thought, ooh, the cell phone parking lot, that's, you know. But the cell phone
super
parking
sexy,
everybody's
right?
in their car waiting. Nobody's not in their car in a cell phone. Yeah. Parking. Every other parking lot, the person's inside the venue that they've parked at.
Yeah.
But at the cell phone, they're all just waiting, which yeah. was pretty fun and hot in and of itself. But it was a funny thing of like, we were trying to be discreet.
And, it's all and fun not, and games, all. Though, until you realize that if you get caught having public sex, you'll be a registered sex offender.
If a kid could have seen, they have to prove that a kid could have seen it. I don't why know why do I know this? So much about this. Because streakers, they always talk about streakers, how like, uh-oh, registered sex offender. But if you streak, they have to prove that a kid had seen it, I think.
But I feel like, what were you at? Were you at a strip mall?
I mean, I feel like pretty easily. Cell phone parking lot. But you have to, you can't just say a kid maybe could have been there.
But was there like a Chuck E. Cheese next to
in the cell phone?
The cell phone.
I don't think so.
I feel like there was. That's why you're acting really weird now.
So next question. All right, so well, now I'm awkward and red in the face. So
success.
We talk a little. Just I'm curious a little bit about the club, because it's got to be very different in Utah than around the country / world.
Okay.
First of all, where do you currently work?
So I just left, you know, the bigger club here.
Yeah.
But when you are there, you're really not allowed to work anywhere else in Utah.
I see.
Because it's like kind of exclusive.
Okay, I'm gonna say you don't have to advertise it. I'm gonna say it's Trails.
It's Trails. Yeah, okay. I left Trails.
And that's fine. You can say negative or positive things, but you went
We'll see. I went to. So now I'm at Deuces, which is like a smaller club.
Okay.
But the money's really good. I'm really happy about it, because like it's just much more laid back. Whereas Trails, like I think there's a lot of newer type of customers or younger type of customers that really don't understand the industry very well.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's obviously some really great customers there too.
Yep.
And then what's like quantity wise, like there's a lot of customers, whereas at Deuces it's a little more quality in a way, because it's people
focused attention
who understand like this is my job.
Works. Yep.
You should pay me. So everyone in the club will tip. So yep. like that really, and the shifts are only 2 hours, full time is 6 hours a week. And it's insane. It's totally insane.
And you make enough with that to live your
life. I do, but I'm also, you know, moonlighting at other clubs, because sure. like I don't know what to do with my time, honestly, right now. Because at Trails, I was working, you know, 30, 40 hours a week, like kind of like more like a normal job.
Yep.
And then I go to Deuces and the hours are so dramatically different that I'm like, oh my God, how do I fill my time? And so there's another club called Divas that I've been working at. Okay. There's one called Blue Sapphire in Ogden.
I've heard of that, yeah.
That I am working at. And I'm probably going to do Southern Exposure and basically like of any of the clubs that don't do lap dances, because I'm not comfortable personally with lap dances.
Uh-huh. Well, you said so many things right now that I want to talk about. So let's rewind to, I wanted to talk about, like, yeah, please chill. I wanted to talk about like, how it's different in Utah than other places. You may not know specifically, but just tell me what it is in Utah. You said no lap dances at some clubs.
If they serve alcohol, there is no full nudity and there's no lap dances.
I see.
But I've heard that there's other states like that from what I hear. I'm not sure what they are, but
Washington's not I shouldn't say not great, but Washington's very, as liberal and progressive as Seattle is.
Yeah, because they've just full nude lap dances, alcohol.
No, it's not very, nope. No alcohol.
In Portland, I mean.
Portland.
Yeah.
Portland. Yeah. Portland's wild. Portland's most strip clubs per capita in the United States. Seattle is very, like, hasn't got on board with that. And we had a 3-foot rule put into place.
Yeah, that's what we have.
Several years ago. And then it gets broken. I mean, that hasn't happened at clubs. But it was a thing. Mm. And then there's no alcohol in the clubs. And
Because if you see a nipple and have a drop of alcohol.
Yeah, who knows what could happen?
Who knows what could happen?
I mean, nobody ever does that. Nobody ever
has alcohol and looks
nipples.
At a nipple.
Never.
I agree.
So we avoid them like the plague when you drink and you're like, I need to go home.
Yeah, I'm out of control. I saw a nipple.
settle down. So we, that's our rules in Seattle/Washington. I don't really know all of Washington. And then, so it's not very popular in Washington. Stripping isn't very popular. The dance clubs aren't very popular. They don't stay open very long.
Would you say they're popular here, like as an outsider?
It seems that way. But my here's my take on Salt Lake City, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Okay. Every show I've ever done has been amazing in Salt Lake City.
I've heard that about comedians. I've heard specifically that they like Utah.
I love it. Now, I'm working two clubs mostly now that are relatively clean clubs, so I'm supposed to stay clean, which is can be fun for me because I push the envelope and I'm like on the clean side.
You're trying to turn people subtly to the dark side.
Edgy. Oh my gosh, please come on over.
Water's fine.
But then like Salt Lake City independent shows and then Wise Guys downtown. I'm at Wise Guys this weekend, Jordan Landing. Nobody's going to hear this and go, but go to the club. It's amazing. People are just, I feel like a little bit starved for some edge and for some irreverence. And so you're either, people that go to a comedy club are either a former Mormon or like a really cool Mormon.
Yeah, so, you're right. Like uptight Mormons, they're not going out to a comedy club where they serve alcohol, you know?
And I could hear,
like,
damn.
Only cool Mormons are going. I'm not a regular Mormon. I'm a cool Mormon.
I don't even know if I can say God tonight. I might be able to. I'm.
I think if you're talking about him and positively, I think you can say God.
I can pray in my act. Just do a prayer.
Yeah.
So every show has been great because the people, the audience is so. So if we translate that to maybe a strip club, I feel like there's so much. Like in Seattle, if I want to get crazy, I mean, I can just go to a bar and probably see a nipple. Like,
yeah, and probably get laid and get have laid. A much likelier chance of getting laid than going to a strip club. I feel like that's kind of universal,
for sure.
Though.
I would imagine. I mean, I've had some interesting strip club experiences, but most guys don't know what they're doing at strip clubs. That's part of the reason for this is to talk about like how should men behave, because that's the next thing I want to talk about. So no nudity, no full nude.
Yeah.
No alcohol.
Pasties, thong.
Pasties and a thong.
But it's a very specific legal thong that is like double lined like a swimsuit. And like you have to wear this specific.
Sure.
No.
Okay.
And like it's very covering. It's a very conservative thong, I guess.
Gotcha.
Is the way. If you
granny
can.
Panty thong. if we're making an analogy. All right. So then, and then only stage dancing.
Yeah, with the 3-foot
and
law.
A bar.
And when you get
separating, like there's bars around the stage in some clubs, right?
In all the clubs that don't serve alcohol, there's actually Deuces, like there's not one, but there's a sunken stage.
Okay.
That kind of, I don't know, does
creates
a similar,
the yep.
creates the separation, yeah.
I see. And you call it the rack, that area around?
I've never called it that, but that doesn't mean that people don't.
Okay, or the rail? Some people
rail. Okay. I call it a rail.
And then, so where you're getting your money is 100% from stage dances.
Yeah. But at Deuces, I have noticed you go say thank you, and there's a custom there where as you say thank you and give a hug, they will
give
you more cash.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that's where most of my money comes from. But I didn't. That wasn't at Trails. You didn't do that at Trails. You made all your money on the stage. Sometimes, every once in a while, people would want you to take cash. But I think when I first started, I had been told not to do that.
Interesting.
But I think you've always been allowed to do that. But I think girls were specifically not wanting me to make money.
Oh. And so they were like, you shouldn't do that.
It's illegal for you.
That's the next thing I want to talk about, the cattiness. Okay. Soon. So you're in a club in Utah, and you're in Salt Lake City. This is all of Utah. These rules, basically.
Yeah, if there's
a little more liberal in Salt Lake City, or no?
You know, yes. I feel like because like the 3-foot rule isn't as heavily monitored. I feel like in Salt Lake, whereas in Ogden, where there was 4 clubs and now there's 1 because they've all been shut down. Because obviously the city doesn't want them there because they're Mormon.
Hard
and,
to shut them down.
So there the rules are very serious. Yes. Like. very serious. And more in Salt Lake, I mean, obviously you can't touch anyone or let anyone touch you, but like if you were to breach that 3-foot rule a little bit, like no one's going to be super mad usually.
Nobody's tackling you.
Unless there's, they call them vice, if like cops come in. And usually like it'll be talked about like, oh, there's vice here. Please be careful. Please don't get too close to anyone because they're literally trying to set us up to touch us and make it look like it was our fault.
Secret shopper.
Secret shopper.
So we have, the throughout the country, the consistent thing is that the it's in some places called mileage, the amount of in activity you have with the dancer or stripper is mileage, like how far you can get.
God, I've never heard that.
I've never heard that. So that's called mileage, and the that's directly proportional to how recently they've been cased by the cops. Like if last week there was a staying operation,
they're not going to fuck with you at all.
The next week.
Yeah.
You're staying far away, fully dressed, or just whatever the rules are being abided by. Mm-hmm. If it's been a long time, you might get to finger a girl in the back. Like that's.
No!
Like, I'm not saying, I'm just telling you around the country.
Okay.
So that's why I want to talk about Utah, because it's so different than other places in the
country. I've never seen and heard or seen anything like that in the clubs I work in.
I would
imagine like unheard of.
That is
But
unheard
I did
of.
Have a customer that seemed like he was doing something to the girl he was with. And I kind of kept trying to get security to be like, hey, he's like touching
her.
They
can't finger each other.
And I'm trying to like turn a blind eye and keep dancing like I don't see them. But obviously like something inappropriate is going on here. And so I just stopped looking at them until finally the bouncer came over and was like, hey, could you guys break it up? Like, this is a bit much.
So in Vegas, I've done that with a lady that I brought.
Oh, you're that guy.
Well... Okay. In Vegas, it's like not even a thing. Nobody's, it's all just.
I'm sure the dancers like, are the dancer, I love this. This is my favorite.
The dancer came over and she's like, you two are the best people in here right now. I love you guys so much. You're so great. And
then we were like, she was like, did you feel that energy between us?
and then, what's that? There's an inside joke happening. Inside jokes.
You see someone across the club, you make eye contact. He tips you very well.
Know your lines.
And then
I
you
know
go,
your lines.
Did so you much. Feel that energy pass between us?
Oh, you guys are amazing. So good at this. This is fucking liars. All right. So, but it's great. So, okay. So, but then, and then like one time I got a lap dance in a back room in Portland and a gal was like,
Can I pick you?
No. It was my, we were doing a divorce party for me, but that was just an excuse for my friends to go to Portland and not have their girlfriends be mad.
Yeah, they're like, he's obviously so sad. We need to help him. Yeah.
So, and by the time we got to the trip, I was like, I'm getting along great with my ex. I don't want to announce that we're having, I'm having a divorce party.
Yeah.
And like, this is not, there's no reason to do that. And so they're like, can we just say it in the club and we won't tell anybody else? And I was like, sure. Because it got us a ton of attention.
For sure.
Right. And so this gal, her name was Corey also on stage.
That's weird.
And she, we went into the dance and she was like, stick your finger in my ass. And I was like,
what?
Okay. And then she,
You put your finger in a stranger's butthole.
I mean, I have done that a lot. I mean, every one-night stand's a stranger.
I need to like feel pretty intimate with someone to... To put my finger in the bubble.
I didn't like lick it after. Like it's not. Like,
yeah, you did.
Okay. Well. Anyway, so she immediately was like, oh, "We're gonna get in trouble." And I was like, "We? Like I didn't."
You suggested it.
I'm done. I'm sorry or whatever.
I'm sorry. So I'm so sorry.
I didn't do that with my finger because.
Whatever. You're like.
Shut up. You don't know me. Sure you do. So it's more, my point is it's super, like much more liberal in certain parts and it's all dependent upon like when they've last been cased by the cops.
Yeah. Or like Ogden, where how many other clubs around them have been shut down?
Yes. 100%.
Like so what's the climate? Like,
oh, we're going to lose our business license. Yeah. So, yeah, totally. Yeah. So then you, and you worked there, but now you work this different place. And so, this 2-hour thing. So what's a perfect interaction with a customer? Like
I think this is different for every girl. So I
great.
Think
that's why. Yeah. Perfect.
So for me, when I was at Trails, what I really liked about Trails is I promoted a lot online on Instagram specifically. And so what I had was a lot of people in the age range of like 20 to 35, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, 21, obviously.
'Cause they're on Instagram.
Yeah. To 35 who would come in groups. And with women specifically, And I liked that a lot.
You like women.
Oh, women! I love women.
That's very common.
But even better, women love me. I don't know why.
Oh yeah, of
but
course.
They chicks dig me. Like they love me.
You pay attention to them, and
well, I think it's. I know this is weird to say, but I think it's because I grew up with sisters, and so like I really love women. I really like talking to women. I love their energy. Like that's what I'm comfortable with. Like right. I like men too.
Sure.
But like you know, I really get along well with women, and they tend to like me and be drawn to me in a way that like. Is not typical, I think, of strippers, because I think strippers can be very intimidating and kind of like, you know, not comfortable for a woman to want to approach.
Well, there's a weird back and forth that happens sometimes, because sometimes dancers don't have good, you know, part of why they're
etiquette
might be because they have poor etiquette or poor self-confidence themselves.
Oh, I could tell you stories about that.
There can be a back and forth of like,
yeah,
my etiquette's not great, and partly maybe because of myself, I'm coming off maybe bitchy.
Yeah.
And then you aren't. Confident. That's why you're in this place,
mm-hmm.
and so this it becomes
it's,
a weird.
It's
awkward,
almost set up to fail.
Thing. Yeah.
And if you don't play it right, where like I really go out of my way to try and make women feel really comfortable and like and pay attention to them. Like I see you, and I'm really glad you're here because I feel like it's important that you're here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like
yeah, you've made a little bit of a sacrifice to come here.
Yeah, you've opened
risking,
your mind,
you're risking a thing with the guy you're with.
Yeah,
like, this could be really.
Yeah, nice. You're really trying to be open minded. You're really trying to experience something new, and I personally really want that to be a good experience for you.
That's great.
And so yeah, I do really well with women. And so I like customer wise, I really liked the groups because there wasn't a lot of pressure for me to talk to them
mm-hmm.
because they'd come in a bigger group of couples or friends or whatever, and I didn't really need to go and like personally chat with them a lot because they were already having fun with each other.
Yeah.
But they were always excited to see me, always tip me well. And so like for me, that was my favorite kind of low maintenance type of customer because it didn't require much for me except to be a good entertainer, which is what I like doing the best.
Yeah.
Where other people definitely want more of your like emotional.
Interesting.
Investment.
Yes.
And I'm not as willing to part with that as I am with, you know, leaving everything on the stage and really putting on what I feel like is a good show. Yeah. Exerting myself physically in a way that like, you know, acrobatically or whatever. That
it's
like
entertaining, is impressive, is they're appreciating. That was really great.
I think that it varies dancer to dancer. You know, what your style of dancing is, what your personality is, whatever I think will be different about what kind of customer you prefer. And so that is hard for me to transition to a smaller club where I am having to have more of an intimate one-on-one with people. But it's been nice because I feel
customers.
Like it's helping me to grow a little more.
That's cool.
You know, as like a person.
Sure.
To
no,
like
I don't think that's
have to challenge myself a little bit to do something different.
Absolutely. So. We in comedy, we can perform in a club that's packed with 250 people and never make any like leave and have people have laughed and be like, that was fun. And then they leave and they don't even say hi as they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can do a show of 12 and I can sell, you know, 10 CDs
mm-hmm.
and have 10 new fans because they were like, this was such a cool, experience the thing together.
Yeah.
It was cool and interesting.
I think that takes me back to like, it's about quality, not quantity. Like sometimes there'd be a lot of people there. And even someone who, I've said this before in the past, like someone who tips me really well, it doesn't always mean that I leave feeling happier. Like I prefer someone who tips moderately, but is having a very good time and I'm really enjoying our interaction rather than like a ton of people and whatever. I'm like, I want to leave at the end of the day and just feel really good and feel happy. Like that was a success in more ways than just monetarily.
Right. Do you feel a lot of pressure? You must not. This must be different for you guys. Do you feel a lot of pressure when you get tipped a lot? To like then.
I know that my tolerance goes up. Like for any level of bullshit you have, or your level of drunkenness. Like the more you tip, the more I'm like, yeah, I can tolerate what that is. But if you're not tipping,
that was so funny.
Oh my god, you're so funny. Did you feel that?
Did you feel that? That is. So tell me about this. Is this, do you have like some like stock like lines?
So I don't. That's like an inside joke because there was a girl that I talked about with one of the dancers that would say that. That was a line she would use often. Was like, and I think all, but there's a part
and
of me that's like,
you're teasing,
I think,
her right now as that's corny and dumb. Or you're saying like, did you like her?
It was a friend of mine telling me about a girl.
Okay.
Who would use that line.
Gotcha. And you all kind of rolled your eyes at that. Like,
we just thought it was really funny and very similar to what we do sometimes with some people.
Fair
you know,
so
where
it wasn't
you're
like, okay, so you were
because
like,
they're tipping well, you're really trying to like, And but I think it's genuine in a way. You really want to make a connection.
Sure.
You, it's not usually, I think, insincere. I think it's like, I actually, but a big part of why I want to, yeah.
It's like at its height of like, almost sarcastic, but not.
Almost, but it's kind of like, why wouldn't I want to connect with someone who's tipping me so well? Yeah. That's what, it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're motivated to like, I'd love to make a connection with you.
Sure.
Like, as a human to a human, I'd like to do that, because then that makes my job easier. To try and make money from people who like you don't have that with is really draining and terrible.
Can't, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've said all my life, selling something that people don't want, I can't do it. It grosses me out. Mm-hmm. So like I worked at an oil change place of all places, and auto shops are notorious for just trying to sell you on anything.
Yeah.
And I can't do that. But then they taught me like the actual legitimate, like when things needed to be done on a car.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me all, and I was like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah. I can do
I can go and be like, oh, you want this? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's why I get turned off as a customer at a strip club when someone walks right up to me and I haven't talked to yet and goes, hey, how are you doing? Want to dance? I'm like,
I mean, that's someone playing the numbers game.
Right.
You know, 100%.
And that's what guys do.
And that works for a lot of people.
That type DTF in your DMs, because they do it 1,000 times. Yeah. One woman will have sex with them. And
1,000 out of 1,000?
I'm sure. Well,
I feel that way with some dudes.
The guy that's typing DTF.
Yeah.
Is probably not having good, he's not batting 333 and going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's struggling to get some. So, man, we've been talking a long time about this. It's great. That's your good interaction. What's like just the worst interaction with a customer? Like this is, I can't, not a specific one, but just maybe a general, I hate it when they do this.
I will give you a specific one because I can't help myself.
Okay.
But I had a guy, I was on stage, and I guess I'm using this example because I think things like this are things that personally for me are not okay. But like I said, I think it varies to dancer to dancer with different things. But I had a guy that was sitting with a bunch of friends, and he was just talking and yakking a lot, which I was like, okay, whatever. And then he eventually said something like, can you imagine those lips on your dick? And I just looked at him and I was like, if you say something like that again, I'm going to walk off the stage. And so I think I'm kind of like a little bit of a pretentious stripper where I'm like, I expect to be treated a certain way. Yeah, like I expect to be treated and spoken to a certain way.
Right.
And if you don't do that, our interaction is ending now.
Yeah.
And he kind of looked at me and his friends were all super embarrassed because I think even they could tell, like, this girl just walked out. Oh, she doesn't know you. Yeah. Maybe that's your sense of humor. She doesn't know that. All she knows is you're sitting there. You won't shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And now you're saying this and she doesn't, I did not appreciate it.
No, but that's a common guy move to, I'm just joking, unless you say yes, then I'm not joking anymore.
Yeah.
Like if you would have been like,
unless you're into it, unless you like that joke.
I don't joke anymore. Right.
Now
so they're not joking. They're taking a chance and then going to fall back on it's a joke.
Yeah.
That's a very common guy move. Guys do it all the time. It's annoying. They're idiots, but you know, whatever. But being disrespectful and not you mentioned like understanding the industry. So someone who understands the industry understands that you are working. What else?
That I'm working, that my time is money, that there's a etiquette. There's things that you do to be respectful and polite, and that's not saying dirty, shitty things.
Yep.
Unless maybe you've talked to her for a year, you know what I mean? And that is what she likes to do
It's all relative,
But, you know, respecting their boundaries and just, you know, being courteous
and recognizing this is a show.
Mm-hmm. This isn't, I'm not your girlfriend.
Coming here and thinking that, you know,
you're going to make a love connection.
Connection is silly.
No, but that's hard too, because it doesn't mean there aren't genuine connections built, because there absolutely is.
But they're not built with the person who thinks that they're entitled to it, or that they, like, it doesn't. The guy who comes in and thinks like, oh, she's really into me, and doesn't recognize, someone who doesn't understand the industry is not making that connection, is my point.
Yeah.
Right. You have to understand.
They think she made eye contact and now we're in love. And I'm like, no, that's literally what she does for her job.
That's my job.
That's like stripper 101 is to make some eye
contact. That's like I go to a Taco Bell and order a taco and that person made eye contact and like she's so
I'm usually in love with anybody who gives me tacos. So
okay, bad example then.
That's great. You have any like a crazy story? You probably have a lot of crazy stories because
I don't have a ton.
You have such there's so many there's level there's steps between you and having too much craziness. No alcohol. They can't touch you. Well,
there is alcohol at our club.
Oh, there's alcohol at your club
because there's no nudity and there's no lap dances. I don't work at the clubs that have either of those.
I see.
I work at the clubs that do have alcohol.
See, we don't have any alcohol at all in Washington clubs.
Yeah, there is. And so my stories are not that wild. They're just kind of like I said, I think I've said this in the past too, that I try to carry myself in such a way that people tend to not want to be disrespectful to me. I think they pick up on my energy very quickly and are like, she's probably not someone she's I want to. And people can either pick that up as like she's stuck up or hard to get or whatever it is. And I'm fine with them thinking whatever they want as long as they understand, like, do not be disrespectful to me.
You get, like, in the end, you don't get disrespected. So
in the end, yeah. That's... Maybe I don't make as much money with certain people who want someone they can walk all over, but that's fine because I didn't get walked all over. So,
or that you've witnessed, if there's anything crazy you've witnessed or heard about. Like, oh my God. I
was telling this story the other day. When I first started at Trails, there was a man I was sitting next to. He brought me a drink. We were talking and a woman walked straight up to him and slapped him across the face like hard.
Wow.
And I just got up and left. I was like, whoop, this is none of my business.
Or just a lady?
Just a lady. Okay. And then a year later, they came back in together.
Yeah.
And he's like, funny story. Do you remember us? And I was like, He explained and I was like, oh my God, I do remember that. That was really weird. And he goes, yeah, that was our first date and she'd gotten too drunk. And so I left her in the car and came to a strip club and then she woke up and came in. And I was like,
that's a great story.
What? And you're still dating?
They're still together.
Yeah. And she was real nice.
Let's go back to where it started, babe.
Yeah. Where it all started.
It's our first anniversary. What should we do?
I thought that was so funny.
That is great. I love that story. So you dance, but like, why do you dance? What do you care about? What do you love to do? What do you... do you want to keep dancing for a long time?
I love paying my bills.
I love paying your bills, so that's why you dance. I love it. It's so much fun to be not in crazy.
I love being independent. You know, I love that. I do actually love dancing. What's that word? I always forget it. Troubadour. I feel like there's a piece of me that just really needs to perform. And like really relishes in that and really wants that. And so it satisfies that for me. And then... And I love being physical. It's almost like I've heard other people say, like, it's like getting paid to work out.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And that's really good for my mental health and everything. Like, to be very physical and to go home and just be exhausted feels kind of great a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And great. So those are the reasons I dance. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then but you're going to do other stuff with your life. And you are doing lots of other stuff with your life. So yeah. What else is going on and what do you see in the next, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Celebrating the anniversary of doing this podcast, right?
I would love, so my plan is that I eventually would really like to write and produce and direct things for a TV and film. And I've done a lot of that. I've done, you know, but on a very small independent kind of scale, but won, you know, local awards here and kind of.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. Have we not talked about this? Are you just acting surprised?
No, we haven't talked about this very much. We talked about your charity stuff a decent amount, but we haven't talked about this.
Yeah.
And also, yes, it's a podcast, so I'm going to pretend like I don't know shit about you. So.
I'm not really doing that podcast much anymore. So anyways, so I, you know, have taken classes at Second City and online and here and other places for, you know, writing film stuff.
Right.
And that's really what my interest is. And I feel kind of like that'll come with time. I'm kind of busy. I have a daughter. She's 8.
Okay.
And, you know, single mom.
Right.
I don't always have the time. But I know that with time, I'm going to progress into those things.
Yeah.
And I know that as I have more time, I actually think switching clubs is going to help me a lot because now I have a lot more free time to focus on those things. So I did a music video recently that I produced and... she's actually in it. Autumn's in it.
That somehow?
It's not going to be released yet. There's still some work we have to do. There's a couple other parts and things we need to put in.
If I were, like, let's say by the time this release, people listening to this, it might be released because who knows when people listen to this. So do you know what it would be called or how we would search it?
You'll be promoting it on your Instagram.
Yeah, probably, so, of course. Still have Molly the Stripper Instagram, and I'll probably promote it on there. I started another Instagram that I haven't put much work into, but it's called Molly Makes Movies now.
Okay.
And I thought that'd be cool to kind of start launching more of my film kind of projects.
So follow both of those, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you'll definitely be promoting it on that. And tell me a little bit more about, like, the charity work stuff is interesting to me because it's somewhat connected to the work.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. I think, so I did a charity event that where I raised money for the Rape Recovery Center of Utah. And a lot of people were very, like, surprised by that. Like, oh, okay, you're in a sex industry and you're raising money. And I'm like, yeah, but let's be sex positive while we also say, hey, it's not okay to rape people. You know,
and
like,
it's wild that people would. Okay, yeah.
No, I had someone specifically talk shit and be like, oh, that's just ridiculous.
That's ironic that a dancer would. That's so crazy to me.
And
but, okay. It's actually not. It's the exact opposite of that.
It makes sense. Yes.
Someone who
is I agree.
Do you say you're in the sex worker industry?
So
sex
that's a new thing for me. I didn't used to say that because I didn't under. I'm like, how is that? I'm not a sex worker.
Right.
But then I looked it up, and on Wikipedia, which is right about everything,
of course,
they said that, you know, strippers are considered sex workers, which makes sense because there is, obviously, they're all connected, and this is a sexually oriented business.
Right.
I get a license that's called a sexually oriented business license to do what I do. And so, obviously, they're very correlated. And so now I'm starting to, that was hard for me, though, to kind of go, okay, well, I guess I'm a sex worker.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I need to kind of wrap my brain around that and understand and stop being so, I guess, judgmental or uptight about it and just go with, like, yeah. And I do have friends that are escorts, and I do have friends that, you know, are in other industries, obviously very correlated to mine. So.
And you don't, and you respect, you there's, you don't have a aversion to that as work. It just wasn't what you were doing.
I don't. It's, you know. I think the way I've talked about it is, like, it's like people work on a house and they're a plumber, electrician, contractor, framer, whatever they do. They're all very related. They're all building a house. They're in a very related industry. But, and I don't get offended when people ask me, like, oh, will you come do a private show, or, oh, will you go do this or that? And, but I'm like, well, actually, that's not the industry I'm in. And it doesn't mean that, like,
mine's a little different than that.
Maybe I have a knowledge of that, or I know people who do that, but, like, it's not actually what I do. But there's also a lot of crossover. I think there's a lot of dancers that do, you know, escort or do.
Sure.
You know, I don't, I'm trying to think of, what's the right word?
Extras.
That do extras. And I don't actually think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's whatever you're comfortable with, whatever.
That can cause tension in a club, though, right?
I think it can. It can,
yeah.
Because it's like, well, how am I going to make money when
you're doing that?
Doing XYZ and I only do ABC.
Yeah. Well, be good at ABC, you know.
Yeah. And if you want
to
go.
You don't have to get the D. So.
Oh, my God.
If you're good at ABC.
Yeah.
So that's great. And so how did that fundraiser go?
It was great. And she was there. She worked for free. Come poke your head in again. We're
she
showing her off.
For free.
This is Autumn.
I know. She's being so patient. Thank you so much.
I know. And so it went really well. We raised over $8,000 that night.
That's great.
It was a really good experience. I'd really like to do another one. I'd really like to continue, make that a tradition. Maybe get other dancers who are interested to have, like, a night where we all do that, like, all across, you know, other states and stuff. And we all donate to our local rape recovery centers, or however, you know, we would do that. I think that'd be something that'd be cool. And I do have a book called Narcissism for Beginners that half of the proceeds. You don't?
No.
I have one in the car. I might just give you one.
Maybe. I'll trade you. I have a gift package for you guys. So.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Did you feel that?
What's that? Did you feel that between
us? So,
I did. I'm going to do a lap dance for you in a minute. So. You're
okay.
Gonna be feeling. Oh, you're so excited. That's great. So then, your future is you're gonna. Are you? Do you have like a? I want to stop dancing when I'm, or I want to keep dancing until I'm.
Okay.
Like,
so my situation is I started dancing at 29, which is very, very late in the game. That was 4 years ago.
Oh,
but
okay.
Yeah. So I feel like I've heard other girls go, oh, I'd never want to be dancing by this age or that age. And I don't really have a lot of that because I feel like if I'm 49 and people still want to see me dance.
Pretty cool.
you still want to pay me to take my clothes off, I'm going to be like, that's cool. I'm really into that. So I don't really have that. And I kind of just have this feeling of like, I'd like to work on my other stuff, but I also want to be a mom and I want to do other things. And so I kind of accepted that, like, if that's what I do until I retire in maybe 10 years from now or whatever, I feel pretty okay with that. I feel really like, I think I'd still be very happy and enjoy it.
That'd be great.
If I do it right and I, like, you know, don't burn myself out. I think it's something I would do, you know.
Burnout is the thing. Yeah, it could happen in anything, I think, especially when you're hustling. I mean, a job where you have to hustle a little bit.
Yeah.
And you have to sell yourself, market yourself, whatever the right word is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that in comedy. There's a lot of like how much time I spend that's not performing or writing jokes. Is it can be really draining.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the huge advantage of having any management or agency working with you, which I don't yet have, is that like, now I don't have to be doing all of that work.
Yeah.
I can just do the part of the work that I love the most, which is writing and performing. So,
yeah.
So yeah, great. That's really interesting. Well, you are the best. And now here's what we do. I awkwardly on the outro, try it like for like 30 seconds dance. You comment on how awkward it makes you feel or how I smell terrible or just whatever, you know.
I like this. I'm having fun.
you could you know what would be fun is if you did like sort of if you were like yeah, just pretend like you're, well, guys, nobody doesn't like a lap. Well, you don't even do lap dances.
I'm not super into them. So
all right, well, here we go.
Okay. Do I keep the microphone?
Yeah, you gotta keep it because
okay.
People gotta like.
Should I do I sit on my hands or? Shake your ass. Oh, there it is.
Alright, you were great. You were super fun. That's it. That's all you get. You didn't even like it. So
I'm traumatized.
Molly the stripper is the best. Follow her on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. Mr. Corey Michaelis. I have dates. Go to my website, CoreyMichaelis.com, and you'll see all my future club dates and hopefully, you know, theater soon, right? And you can come see me perform live. Thank you again. You're so fun.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye, everybody.